She's a feisty Southern girl who's worked with companies all over the world to develop content that connects them with their ideal customers. And now, she's cooking up all kinds of content marketing ideas in her virtual content lab, ideas that will help you grow your business. Here's the totally mad content marketing scientist and host of the Smarter Content Marketing Lab podcast, Michelle Lashley.
Hi there, and welcome to this episode of the Smarter Content Marketing Lab. Today, we're going to be joined in the lab by Laura Creekmore, who is president of Creek Content. She's someone I followed for a while because I really love her take on content marketing and how businesses should and shouldn't be using it. And so during the conversation you're about to hear, Laura is going to provide a ton of great tips for small business owners who are either thinking about doing content marketing or who have done some content marketing in the past without seeing a lot of success. It's really solid and actionable advice, so be sure to listen all the way through. You'll be glad you did. So with that, let's head to the lab. Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for joining us today in the Smarter Content Marketing Lab. I really appreciate you taking time on a holiday weekend to talk to me.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for asking me, Michelle.
So I've followed you for a while, and I've seen, like, you have at least one video up on, I think it's Vimeo from Confab, and I follow your blog, and I just love what you do over at Creek Content. But maybe you could explain just briefly to the listeners, you know, who you are, what you do, and what you all do over at Creek Content. That would be great.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I have a content strategy and information architecture consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing that kind of work for almost all of my career. I was really lucky when I first went to work out of college. My second job out of college ended up being working for a small custom publishing company. And the guy who owned it thought the internet was going to turn into something. And that we should figure out how to use that to help our clients. And so I have always felt fortunate that I was in the right place at the right time to really grab the internet by the horns, so to speak, you know, and figure, right. Figure out from the beginning, how did all of these new digital options change the way we communicated with each other and give us new opportunities to share a message and just be part of the conversation in the world. So I feel very lucky to have been there at that time. I've had my own company for, I guess at this point, 8 years or so, almost 8.5. And I have been working with clients to help them figure out who their audience is and what their audience needs from them, and figuring out how to marry those needs up with business goals, and then creating content or structural frameworks to better communicate, and then making those things happen. So it's, I kind of describe our work as being on a continuum, mm-hmm. from understanding your audience to aligning it with business goals to making that happen. And we can come in at any part in there.
Wow. So that's really great. I mean, you guys are like a full service agency when it comes to developing content and getting it out there into the world.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I love that you say it that way, because so often people will describe us as a specialist, and we certainly are when it comes to content. But as you point out, there's a range of services within that content umbrella. Mm-hmm. And we can do any of those. Now, we love to partner with people who are doing programming and development, mm-hmm. and design and all the strategy to, you know, we feel like we fit in there in that nice little niche. But there's a full service of full spectrum of content services within there.
Right. Well, that's great. I know you work with companies of all sizes, and you and I have talked before, and, you know, so the focus for this podcast is really entrepreneurs who, you know, who have small businesses, and some have never tried content marketing because they either, you know, aren't quite sure what it is or are sort of weary of it. They may be weary of it too. and some you know, may have tried it before and just didn't find great success in it. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about why an entrepreneur should look at content marketing as a priority when they've got a thousand other things to do instead of just as an afterthought.
Well, it's a great question, and I'll start by saying there are plenty of people who probably shouldn't do it. Okay. And that may be a little heretical to say.
No,
but
I think it's good. No, yeah.
I think it is true, particularly when you're a smaller organization. You can't boil the ocean. You can't do everything.
Right.
And so I think it's really smart to think strategically about where your customer is and what kind of needs your customer has and figure out the best way to meet those needs. Now, for many people, I think the answer to that is definitely going to involve content marketing, but it won't for everybody. I think the real missed opportunity for a lot of people is that many people never even consider it. Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of companies that ought to be doing it. You know, the example that many of us in the marketing industry like to point to is Marcus Sheridan, who got a start many years ago selling swimming pool design and installation. And I love this example so much because it is, you know, I think if we thought about buying a swimming pool and having it installed in your yard, we might think that purchase decision is about price or the design or the customer service. And his real inspiration was that if you haven't bought a swimming pool before, you don't have any idea how to buy a swimming pool.
Right.
And you have a ton of questions because you don't know how to judge the different vendors who might offer that service. And so he started content marketing. He started a blog, and he just took in every question that customers asked him, and he turned that into a blog post. And pretty soon, he became one of the best resources on the internet for learning about how to be a good swimming pool customer and learning how to be informed about buying a swimming pool. And lo and behold, there was a huge market for that, and it made a real difference in his business. And, of course, it launched a number of other things for him as well. Mm-hmm. But I love that example so much because I think it demonstrates really clearly that we shouldn't make assumptions about what kind of business should use content marketing. I think we can say pretty clearly, if your organization or business deals with something complex or something that is unfamiliar to your buying market, you have a real opportunity to educate as part of the sales process,
right.
And content marketing is perfect for that.
Yeah, and Yeah, I love the example of Marcus Sheridan because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the questions they were selling one type of pool, but not every type of pool. But the questions that he answered dealt with, like, pretty much every kind of pool. So he wasn't just pushing his own products.
Absolutely. Well, and I love that you mentioned that because I think that's where a lot of people go wrong with content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They think that, you know, just means we need to educate more, right? I don't blame anybody for it, but I think a lot of people mistakenly think that content marketing is about sales with more words.
Right, exactly.
And that's not what content marketing is. Content marketing is about establishing yourself as a trusted authority in your industry. And when you give and give and give, you become that trusted authority. And when somebody is ready to buy, they're already comfortable with you. They're already in a trusting relationship with you. They turn to you to buy. So it's a long play. It's not the sort of thing that you can start up in January and expect to see your sales change by March. I mean, maybe.
Right.
But you shouldn't expect that. What you ought to expect is that over a long period of time, you will build an ever larger audience. And when that audience individually is ready to buy, they're going to turn to you first.
Right, exactly. And I think that Marcus just had a book released recently about content marketing and things like that. I'll have to look for it. But, yeah, I'm so glad that you brought up that example. And you're right. I think that some people mistake content marketing as like a long sales letter. But,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so not. It is about this idea of educating, and I think we have more sophisticated consumers these days, and they can sniff out when they're being sold to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think content marketing is also a really, it's a great tactic for people who might not be comfortable with selling, because it is more about educating.
I've got to tell you a story related to that. Okay. So when I first went into business for myself, sales was the part that terrified me, because I had worked at a small company, so I had been involved in pitching clients before, and I loved, you know, thinking up what might the strategy be and writing the proposal, and I was even down to make the presentation, right? I was all about that. But when it came time to say, we will do this work for you for X amount of dollars, what do you think? I would never do it. I was unwilling to go there. And so that scared me about being in business for myself. But I learned very quickly that when I fully believed in what I was selling, and when I sat down and talked to somebody and said, tell me what you're struggling with. Where's your challenge? Where's your pain point? And I could bring a different perspective to the table and say, oh, well, as it turns out, I know something about that pain point, and here's how I've solved that problem before. What do you think? Would you like me to dive in and take a look? That didn't feel like selling. That felt like I was helping somebody solve their problem, and lo and behold, they pay you for it.
That's great.
it really was a good lesson for me to realize that sales wasn't what I thought it was.
Right.
It was different, and it was about framing it in the context of that trusted relationship.
Right. It really is a mindset shift, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I think so many people are terrified of it. I am. I hate selling. But when you feel like you're helping, then it becomes a whole different thing.
That's right.
Yeah. So for an entrepreneur who, you know, they often have limited budgets, limited amount of time. A lot of times it's, you know, just one person doing everything. What are some, how do they make the decision really about what type of content marketing he or she should do, or if they should do content marketing at all?
I think it's a great question. I think what happens with so many people is they jump in without asking that question first. You know, I remember when iPads first came out, and I finally bought one because so many people said to me, you know, you're in content. How are you using an iPad? What do I need to know about an iPad? And I finally bought one so that I could say, yes, I own one.
Right.
But that was kind of dumb, right? I mean, that wasn't a great reason to buy one. Mm-hmm. And that first iPad, my kids used that. They used it to watch videos.
Of course.
And so I had succumbed to the peer pressure and made a purchase, made a commitment based on what everybody else was telling me, as opposed to what my business purpose was. I later bought a second iPad when they came out with the iPad Pro, and I bought that iPad with a very specific business purpose in mind, and I used it for exactly that thing. Mm-hmm. And it can now do something for me that my computer can't do, so that's what I use it for. But so I think you have to think about content marketing in the same way. It's an investment of your time and your money, and maybe other people on your staff and their time and resources. And so I want entrepreneurs to be really intentional about it. So I would say first what you do is you take a good listen to your current customer base. And, you know, maybe you just ask people. It could be just ask a few people at a point of sale, or you could conduct an official survey, or however you communicate with them now, and find out, where are they online? Are they active on Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever? And for most organizations, they will find that their audience is more active on some channels than others. And you will think about the way that you want to share information about your organization may be more appropriate for some channels than others. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend really doing that research about your audience, thinking about how it matches up with your own strategy, and then bite off one small piece at a time. Because if you go out the door and say, well, we're going to have Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and a blog, right, and a, oh my gosh, when are you going to do your job?
Right.
Yeah. But if you start out and say, you know what, we are a restaurant that, you know, sells locally. We're not doing any shipping, but we're selling locally. And we'd really like to get more buzz going among the tourists coming to our town. And we've talked to people who come in our restaurant, and we noticed that a lot of them are using Instagram. And we started paying attention to how other restaurants are using Instagram, both in our town and other places. And we started finding, you know, there's a hashtag that a lot of foodie people are using. Well, I think we need to be on Instagram, and we need to be using that hashtag. And let's do that for several months and be really intentional about learning from other people who mm-hmm. we think are doing it well and trying some stuff. And we're going to do it every single day, and we're going to do it for 6 months or longer and see what happens. Well, I think that's a really smart way to go about content marketing.
Yeah. And you get to something that I think frustrates people, because they'll do something for like a month and they feel like, well, nobody's paying any attention to this, and then they'll quit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, one of the things that I'm learning and have learned about content marketing is that you have to be consistent, and you do have to commit to a certain amount of time, and it's not a month.
Yeah.
You know, would you say 6 months is like the minimum you should give something to see if it's going to?
I think it's a bare minimum, mm-hmm. and I like a year better.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, I mean, I run a small business myself. That is a long-term commitment to make.
Right.
But I will say that anytime I have gone about something like this, I see incremental success long before the year is up. But if you haven't given it that time and you haven't really been intentional about learning mm-hmm. and putting your strategy together with what your audience needs and then going step by step, I don't think you can say you've given it your best shot. So it's, and I get that that is not the right, it's not going to be the right strategy for everybody, because if, you know, if you're really living hand to mouth and it's just about every day trying to make payroll, it's hard to think about, you know, adding on a new marketing program that's going to require real strategy and thinking and time on your part. And you may not be ready for that.
Right.
But it has just paid so many dividends for me and so many other people I know. It makes a lot of sense for a lot of businesses.
Yeah. And then there are also so many different tactics out there now that we're being bombarded with. It's like, well, try this and try that. And this is a great new strategy for this. And I think that's another frustration that people run into, is that they start trying to do too many things at one time. And, you know, it just becomes too much.
I agree. And it is, I will say that I have recommended for years, and even though I think it's years old advice at this point, I think it's still right. I use social media primarily for listening and learning. Mm-hmm. And I have looked out to find people whose word I trust, people mm-hmm. who have given me good advice before. And I spend a lot of time reading and following and thinking, and far less time actually acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a smart strategy for a lot of organizations. Use it as a learning tool, because it is very, very powerful for that. You can find voices that you would not find other ways, that, you know, maybe in a very different place than where you live, that sort of thing. And use it for that, and then start often. Your actual market may be in a different place. You may learn more on Twitter, but realize that you're going to reach your audience better on Facebook. That's okay. But follow those people on Twitter who are writing about how to reach their audience in a smart way on Facebook, and you'll benefit from that. So I think it's you really do have to be intentional about the choices you make with that.
Yeah, I love that idea about using social media as really a listening tool. That's something to really think about, because you're right. I mean, we can follow. I mean, that's how I found you. you know, right?
Awesome.
And yeah. So because we don't live in the same city, the same state, and we probably would have never crossed paths.
That's right.
Except through social media. So yeah, that's a great recommendation. And so, you know, when we're talking about that bare minimum of 6 months, do you think they should focus on a single content strategy and tactic during that 6 months instead of trying to do, you know, two or three different tactics?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It depends. You know, I know I drive people crazy because my favorite answer to almost every question is it depends.
But it's true. It's true. I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is really true. And to me, it all goes back to the audience. Mm-hmm. If you're paying attention to your audience is going to tell you where you need to be mm-hmm. and what you need to do. And if you need to be in multiple channels, I suspect it's going to be the sort of thing where you realize, well, it may not be something that I can do alone while I'm doing all the other things. And it may be, you know, maybe at that point you've got somebody else on your staff who can be part of it. But some, you know, there are a lot of tools out there that can really help even a single person who is also running the business at the same time make the most of their time. Mm-hmm. I have tried a ton of them, particularly when it comes to managing social media. Mm-hmm. And I've been using Buffer a lot recently. I
me
really
too.
Like that.
Yeah.
It lets me post a bunch of things all at once, spread them out over time, and post different messages to different channels so I can make things on LinkedIn a little bit longer than I make things on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I post at different times to the different channels. And I don't spend as much time dipping in and out of every single channel all day long, which, you know, then just sucks you in. There's always something interesting to read
sure.
once you get into them. But the other thing that I love about the tools now that let you schedule and Buffer, and there's a ton of other ones, mm-hmm. is that I still think no matter what you're doing in content marketing and social media, you have to really pay attention to the context out there in the culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there is, heaven forbid, a mass shooting or some kind of other tragic incident in our society, you better go turn all that stuff off real fast.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be out there, you know, telling people to come to our balloon party at our new, you know, cupcake shop.
Right. Yeah.
When there's just been something tragic that's happened. You just look tone deaf. And if you scheduled it 2 weeks ago, well, it was, you know, that was the right thing to say 2 weeks ago. But if you're going to be in multiple channels, I do think it makes sense to use a tool. But I also think you've got to remember when you're scheduling in advance, pay attention to what your audience is feeling. And that's going to be different for everybody.
Right.
Some audiences are more attuned to some kinds of events and changes in society than others. And so you've got to know your audience really well. In some cases, it may be fully appropriate to let your scheduled content continue to run. You know, we don't think anything about seeing a Coke ad on television if something horrible happened that day, right?
Right.
That is expected to be part of the background whenever we're watching television. Mm-hmm. But social media, I think, makes a more personal connection with people, so you've got to pay more attention to that.
Let me ask you this in terms of because one of the things I really like about, like, your blog posts and things like that is that you tend to bring a personal part of your story into it.
What do you
think about, and that's harder to do, obviously, for, I think, probably for large companies, but for smaller companies, do you think it's a good idea to, you know, bring in part of your personal story or personal narrative into the content marketing that you do?
I think it is almost always appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
My dad one time several years ago fussed at me because he said that he thought I talked too much about personal things or about my opinions about current events or, you know, whatever. He wanted me to be only business and very buttoned up all the time. And I said to him, what you don't realize is that every single thing I post online is really intentional, and there's a reason for it. And I, I'm sure that, you know, if somebody went back and downloaded my Twitter feed, you know, we could dissect, well, should I have said this? Should I have said that? But I have been, I'd stand behind any of it.
Yeah.
And I think part of what people are buying when they're buying consulting services from somebody like me is an understanding of that person as a full person. And I think it helps to see a little bit behind the curtain and a little bit that's more personal. If I'm working for a bank, I'm not going to recommend that they ever post about politics. That's not their role in the world.
Right.
And so I think you have to figure out, what are your audience's expectations? What do they come to you for? What do they trust you with? And if you own a local restaurant, heck yeah, you ought to talk about things that, you know, affect the local community. You know, if there's a live music event in the neighborhood, it's not at your shop, but it's in the neighborhood, why wouldn't you say, yes, we're so excited about this? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that sort of thing, when you demonstrate that you're a part of a community,
yeah,
that's part of the magic of it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I love how you do that. It's such a great way with your blogging. So one of the other things, I know we need to probably wrap up shortly, but I wanted to ask you, I know you work with, you know, some large companies, and I'm always interested in seeing how strategies that large companies use regarding their content marketing, what small companies can learn from that, and what kinds of, maybe if they could take some of those same strategies and make them work for even a small business. Can you think of any that you've have to implement for large companies that a small one or two or three person shop might be able to use?
Well, you know, this is pretty broad, but I think this is true. One of the things that I think is very different between large companies and small companies is often the time that's put into planning and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly lots and lots of small companies out there that do this well. But I see a lot of small businesses that feel like they have to do everything themselves. And so as a result, you know, it's that old adage about, you know, if you're doing everything, you're not doing anything well.
Right.
And I think that is unfortunately often the case. And so if, you know, no matter why you started your business or how you got into running your business, you've got a certain set of skills. And if marketing is not your core skill set and it's not what you are trained in, invest the time to go learn it. You know, if you can hire somebody to do that for you, great. Or hire somebody to coach you in that, great. But everybody can't do that. But you can invest the time. You can say, you know, this is not something I've had to do before, but I'm going to go learn how to do this most effectively for my organization. And that intentionality and the planning and the investment of your time really pays off. I have worked with a lot of large companies over the years, and I'm always shocked when I run into one that doesn't have at least a 6-month budget planning cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's an advantage for a smaller company. They can be more nimble, but if they're not doing that long-term planning, then there are other opportunities that they're missing. So to me, it's the investment of time that often makes a difference.
Yeah. That planning time. And like I said, just self learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So the other thing I wanted to ask, and I think you really have already answered this, but for an entrepreneur who hasn't really done any content marketing and is looking at taking the first step, like right now, what would you suggest that first step be?
I think I'd be tempted to go get Ann Hanley's book. And now I'm not going to come up with the name of it.
Hold on. Everybody Writes.
Yeah. I'd be tempted to go get that.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very tempted to read some blog posts and take advantage of some of the great content at the Content Marketing Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Copy Blogger has a great blog as well and lots of great resources. I would look at some of those real leaders in the content marketing space and – Don't feel like you have to become a content marketing expert, but look at that content from time to time for examples of organizations similar to yours. You know, maybe you see what somebody else in the food industry is doing, or somebody else who's industrial is doing, or whatever your business is, and see, well, how could I adapt that? How could I make one small step in that direction?
Right.
And there's so many ways to go about it. But I think if you'll spend a little time learning and then look at how do I take that first step and then keep doing it, just keep doing that thing every day for a long time. And then, you know, set a date in your calendar and say, okay, in 3 months, I'm going to look at how consistent I've been and what results I've seen so far. Do I need to tweak anything over the next 3 months? I'm not ready to quit yet. I'm not ready to go gangbusters yet. But what am I going to change the next 3 months? And let's try that. And keep going in that step-by-step fashion. I think you'll see results.
Oh, that's great advice. And speaking of leaders in the content marketing area, that would be you. You would be a leader in that.
Thank you.
So can you tell the listeners where they can find information about Creek Content, but also about where they can find, where they can follow you, as we talked about earlier about listening to experts in the content marketing field? You're definitely one they would need to listen to. So can you tell us how people can find you?
Yeah, for sure. I post on Twitter almost every day, and I try to post a lot of resources. And my username is at lauracreekmore.com, LauraCreekmore. And my website has a link to that and a link to an email newsletter that I put out once a month with ideas about content marketing and strategy. And that's creekcontent.com, C-R-E-E-K, content.com. And I would love to connect with folks. I learn every day from organizations large and small, and I learn from people who are new to it, and I learn from people who've been doing it longer than I have. So I think you've got to take that approach to it.
That's great. Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been such a delight. Thanks for asking me, Michelle.
Being clear about why you're using content to build your business and being intentional in your efforts to execute a content marketing strategy. Wow, such great advice for all of us to follow as we go about the process of building our businesses. Thanks again to Laura Creekmore for sharing her expertise with us today. I learned a ton, and as always, I hope you did too. For links to the books and other items we discussed in this episode, be sure to check out the show notes for episode 7 of the Smarter Content Marketing Lab podcast. You can find those by visiting smarterwritinglab.com. Also, if you'd like a free copy of my Smarter Content Marketing Toolkit, you can find that at smarterwritinglab.com too, so be sure to check it out. Thanks for joining me today in the lab. Until next time, go out there, create awesome content, and build your business into something amazing.